You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 23rd, 2018, and today we say goodbye to the one, the only, Cliffy B.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Jester.
And I'm Georgie A.
Oh, man. We are the co-creators of experiencepoints.net.
Oh, God. Serious? Please never call me that, by the way. But I immediately regret that.
So you can't take it back. Yes, attitude and batitude. That's what experiencepoints.net is all about. This week, we are going to talk a little bit about the original bad boy of gaming, Cliff Bleszinski.
The OG.
He's like V2 of bad boy.
What was V1?
Probably Nolan Bushnell or some shit. I mean, that guy did a lot of
But he
of
was
cocaine.
Actually just like a bad dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't, I don't think Nolan Bushnell is or ever was cool, right? There's a difference between thinking you're cool and, like, actually coming off as cool.
Let me amend my statement. Original bad boy of gaming. Let's see. Not Shigeru Miyamoto. He's too nice. What's his face? Billy Mitchell.
Oh, definitely.
Original bad boy of gaming.
That I would agree. Yeah, for sure.
We're now
a fully grown bad man. Yeah. Of
gaming. We're kind of dancing on the grave of Bosky here. Over the past couple weeks or so, Cliff Bleszinski's studio that he runs, Boss Key, is shutting down. They're going to end service for Lawbreakers, and I guess in the meantime, they're going to keep Radical Heights up, but who knows, TBD on that one. But Colin Campbell over at Polygon wrote an interesting article about the larger narrative around Cliff Bleszinski, who he is in the industry, and what the kind of overall community feeling has been towards him and what he symbolizes in terms of what a gaming figure is, a public gaming figure. And so we wanted to dive into that a little bit, mm-hmm. Talk about the work, talk about the article and what that means for some of the other, dare I say, auteurs out there. You don't really hear him mentioned in that same breath, but I don't know. I might make an argument about that.
I think there's a reason for that.
Okay.
We should start off by saying we're going to have some fun here also, but nobody likes it when a studio closes down and people lose their jobs. Yeah. So that's a bummer for all the folks at Bosky.
I mean, I will say that it seems like from what I know about Bosky and the games, it seems like the games are actually good.
I played Lawbreakers at E3, and while I didn't enjoy it, I certainly didn't expect the studio to collapse under the weight of that entry. Yeah. It's coming at a really weird time where I think there is a legitimate, you know, I think before you could say, you know, when a game comes out and doesn't succeed, it's not because it's not good enough, or it's not because there's too many games to play. It's that you just didn't make a game good enough or attention grabbing enough to get a stable group of people to play.
Yeah.
I think right now, with the likes of major free-to-play multiplayer shooters, and again, PUBG and Fortnite are on everyone's minds, but they're not the only ones. There are others that are still pretty sizable followings. It's a rough time to come out as a multiplayer-only shooter these days. You're competing against Overwatch, against Destiny 2, against all the other classic Call of Duties, but now you're also coming up against Fortnite and PUBG.
Well, and this studio is not a 3-person endeavor.
Right.
It's not a 300-person endeavor.
Right.
And it feels like that middle ground is extremely difficult for people to find a space to carve out.
Yeah. I mean, especially considering they had been working on Lawbreakers for many years. Yeah. This isn't something that just, you know, was early access, didn't find a footing, and then they bailed on it, right? Yeah. Like, there are studios that have worked on some of their games for only a year or so, come out with early access, and then slowly build up a following. There wasn't an expectation that, you know, and with that existed with Lawbreakers, where if this game doesn't do well within the first X period of time, it will never do well. It's not going to pick up again. And there are examples like Warframe and a few others that stand out as games that grew in popularity and player base afterwards, but that's just not the environment I think Lawbreakers found itself in.
Yeah. And I mean, I never really played it myself, but just from watching it and hearing people talk about it, it was one of those games where people were saying, okay, it doesn't stand out very much, but it is a very well-made game.
Yeah.
You know, it feels good. The ideas behind it are solid. It's just that it got lost in the crowd of things out there.
And I also am surprised that they announced and literally released, early access, but released Radical Heights, which was their Battle Royale entry in that genre. And
did you play that?
I did not, but I did talk to a couple of coworkers who were playing it, and they had nothing but good things to say about it. Like, it was early stages, it was an early access game, but the systems were good. They did interesting things that the other Battle Royale genre games did not do, like, you know, random spin to win loots that dropped, being able to buy gear on the fly from vending machines.
That looked cool.
And then having this sort of counterplay where you could sort of sit near a vending machine and wait for people to try to buy guns out of it and cool stuff like that.
Gank them while they're trying
I mean, it seemed like it was doing interesting things and definitely stood out in terms of its aesthetic look, right?
I remember when we were watching that trailer, I was like, man, this actually looks fairly amusing and well put together.
It was a tongue-in-cheek, like, 80s thing, more serious than Fortnite, but far less serious than PUBG. So I'm surprised that even with that, the response was like, you know, this is ultimately too little too late, and we're just not going to get enough out of even this to warrant staying open.
Yeah, it's... And even that was, I mean, what, 5 months or so of work or something like that? I mean, it's sad to say, like, oh, this was too little too late, when they clearly saw the trend pretty early, actually. Because 5 months ago, that they were looking at the end of the year, basically, when PUBG was exploding.
Yeah.
And they still think it isn't worth putting out. Which says something weird about the Battle Royale space in general, I guess.
We already have Call of Duty entering that too, so.
Yeah. Okay, so, I mean, that sucks. It's terrible that, you know, people are looking for new jobs now. Those games seemed like they were technically competent and had promise.
Yes.
So, going into what Colin Campbell writes, let's talk about what this means or what this symbolizes.
Yeah.
What is our relationship with Cliff VB been, by
the
way?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I feel a little
bad. I love
bad.
That man.
I love him. The former lead singer of Stained or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
I feel like we have thrown plenty of shade against Cliff VB over the years.
Yeah.
And I think probably half of it was well-deserved. I think the other half maybe not so much.
Yeah.
He always stood out to me as someone that fed into his own fame.
Right? Yeah, like
he was not a humble guy in the early years of this podcast being started, right?
Like, yes.
We're coming up on 10 years of doing the Experience Points podcast. Yeah. We started the podcast, I guess, roughly after Cliffy B became a phenomenon. Like, people started calling him Cliffy B.
Yeah.
He, you know, was interviewed, and they did, like, exposés, and he would go to events and, like, really fine clothing and date his, like, model wife and drive around in, like, a Lamborghini with, like, you know, Gears of War license plate. I don't know if that part's true.
Yeah.
He was a pretty easy guy, I think, to hate because he partially looked like the sort of bro that was what we thought was the type of person that hated video games, right? Like, he was at the forefront of the sort of bro persona in the game space, which has not aged well over the years, but I'm not, at the same time, I think that that persona that he made for himself in the, you know, early or late 2000s followed him throughout his entire career, and maybe some of the antagonisms that we've made, or I have personally made against Cliffy B, were undeserved because that persona was something that was built up and larger than life and pursued him throughout his career.
I mean, it's a weird combo because, as you pointed out, there are some interesting articles and lectures out there about his level design stuff. And,
yeah.
I mean, and it's not that...
He was a smart guy.
Exactly. Like, I don't think you don't become successful at Epic Games in the mid to late 90s by being bad at game design.
Yes.
You know, like, that was the heat of the war between id and Unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to be good
if
you were going to be employed and successful there. So, like, clearly, and he's clearly thoughtful about video game design, but he, I don't know, like, I mean, at the time, I could see how almost putting on the persona made sense.
In the time period?
In the time period.
Yeah.
Like, if you think back to the time period, it's almost like, but it obviously doesn't age, and he wasn't able to, like, pivot out of it in a weird way, but he almost kind of, it's almost like a pro wrestling vibe, you know? Yeah. Like it's almost like it's a character, you know, that he was never quite able to.
God, what I would pay to see Cliffy B oiled up fighting Kojima in, like, a cage match somewhere.
You know, how it's like now how The Rock is a mainstream cross-media superstar.
Yeah. But Dwayne Johnson, please.
Yeah, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But in the early days, he was just like a trash-talking wrestler guy, and he was able to pivot out of that public persona, where it feels like it kind of made sense at the time and place to grab attention by being the dude with the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And being the dude who is super vocal and, you know, kind of brash, but then not being able to make the pivot seems, you know, seems like a tough thing.
But I wonder how much of it was, you know, this was happening in a time period where this is right about when nerd is becoming the new cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where the Marvel franchises fit in here.
Because
what, Iron Man, the first Iron Man was what, 2000, I want to say 2009?
That sounds about right, roughly. It was the same time period.
The point being is, this was before, you know, I think the sort of the cool video games are culturally everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, Marvel is everywhere. It seemed like he was that first person to be like, yeah, fucking video games are the new cool. Yeah. I make $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm fucking.
But it was cool because I'm rich and a cool guy, not because they're inherently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this was also, I think, in a period where there were a lot of conversations going on in the critical game space about what a game auteur really was and whether or not it made sense to even call someone like Cliffy B an auteur, right? Like, we were having conversations about, well, can you really call anyone an auteur? Are we giving too much credit to people like Cliffy B or even Kojima or some other creators that seek to represent their entire studio in their persona versus the idea that actually games are made by very large teams.
Right.
There are multiple people in different departments that play very critical roles in the look and the feel and the experience of a game, that to point to any one person and say, this is the creator of such and such is wrong.
Yeah.
And I think Cliffy B was someone that was, in the way that he presented himself, certainly to the media, wanted to be that symbol. He wanted to be that person. And I think to some people that rubbed them the wrong way.
I wonder if we could go back and reevaluate all that stuff around auteurs, where maybe we missed the mark in terms of, okay, Cliffy B is not hand coding every single script in Gears of War. But there's a tone and a leadership style and an overall philosophy that seeps into everything.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we can go back now, having the knowledge of places like Uber or places like Facebook, where it's like, yeah, those guys are not making the day-to-day decisions, but they are setting a tone from the top.
Yeah.
If we would be more...
Like, when Elon Musk doesn't like yellow, therefore there are no, like, warning signs in his factories.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have an important role to play in the structure of their company.
And I feel like we maybe... I personally maybe didn't give that enough credit. Like, the soft nature of influence from the top is harder to identify when you're in it.
Maybe auteur is the wrong word then.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I guess that's true. Maybe I'm like straying away from the agreed upon definition of auteur. But I mean, if it's someone who's exerting influence and you can see the results of that influence in the work, then it seems like Lawbreakers reminds me a lot of Unreal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Even the little clip of Radical Heights, I was like, man, this reminds me of the late 1990s deathmatch scene. And so maybe there's just something out there. You know, there's like a... It's like how you know if it's a David Jaffe game.
Yeah.
I feel like David Jaffe is on the spectrum of...
Just on the spectrum, I think.
If he's on the spectrum of, I don't know, super nerdy indie developer to, like, David Jaffe.
Yeah.
Cliff Bleszinski has tried to pivot back and forth between that stuff.
Yeah.
And in the late 2000s, he was more towards the Jaffe-verse.
Yeah.
And he's been trying to walk it back a little bit to, you know, get past...
That's the next Marvel spinoff, the Jaffe-verse.
Sweet Tooth is going to chase you around.
Oh, that would be sick, actually. We should get a Twisted Metal movie, actually, now that I mention it.
I'm surprised that Uwe Boll has not made a Twisted Metal.
That's
a
very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with all of those. Do you think that a little bit of the because what I kind of want to talk about is the fall of Cliffy B. Or not the fall, but really the way that game celebrity statuses have kind of gone away. Like, Colin Campbell makes a really good point that we're in an age where the people who play video games are more famous than the people who make them.
Yeah, that is
which
true.
Which makes me feel so fucking old, because I remember when there was, like, video game celebrities were a thing. And there still are, right? Like, I think Cliffy B's still well-recognized. Yeah. Tim Schafer is certainly, like, a luminary
Kojima's
in that space.
Kojima's still out there.
Kojima is still out there. You might be out there right now.
I need a t-shirt that just says in block letters, Kojima is still out there.
Yeah, I want to believe. Like, black and white with his face. I'm just thinking maybe he's, like, literally in your backyard listening to this.
Yeah,
right,
you'll see a red exclamation point pop up.
Oh, my God. Cliffy B's always... He'll always be out there, Kojima. That's what Cliffy B's going to do in his retirement. He's finally going to join Kojima just lurking around. But it makes me feel old, because I do remember a time where these were designers that people looked up to and sort of defined those spaces in a way that I think, you know, these three words that I hate to say, but kids these days don't necessarily understand, right? Like, who is the face of Fortnite? It's Ninja, you know? It's the Twitch streamers. It's not...
Are there any... Side note, are there any Fortnite developers that
Joe
are...
Joe Fortnite, hello?
That are...
No, I have no idea. I don't know.
Is there a... What's the Overwatch guy? Jeff Kaplan?
Yeah, that's true. There's no Jeff Kaplan. Yeah.
Is there... Yeah,
I don't think so.
Is there a player unknown of Fortnite?
I mean, there is a player known of PUBG, but I would argue... my guess is a lot of people who play PUBG don't even know who Player Unknown is.
That's true.
And might not even know why PUBG is called PUBG.
Right, they just call it PUBG.
So, I don't know. It feels like the persona of Cliff Bleszinski and the way that he's... I mean, I think it's safe to say he himself, as a persona, has seemed to have lost relevancy within the conversation of games and games culture.
Yeah.
I think... one-to-one with the loss of the celebrity game designer in the first place. Like, that position or that role or that persona has largely left. And while we do have people in communities like Jeff Kaplan, like some of the Warframe devs and community managers that are really vocal and out there, there doesn't seem to be that same sort of weight. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of the recent ones. I mean, maybe Yoko Taro is becoming
But the dude like doesn't even like to be seen, right?
No one will.
I mean, unless he's wearing his head, you're not going to recognize that dude in public. But even that, right? Like, that is still a pretty weeb niche designer. Like, that's someone that we know, because that really is, like, that is a classic example of an auteur. Yeah. Same with Kojima. But even now, right? Like, if you were to take kids who were, say... Let's say people who are younger than 18 years old, right? What Metal Gear game is the game that they associate with Kojima?
Right.
Like, they maybe didn't even play this last one.
Yeah, I mean, they were probably 10 when Metal Gear 4 came out or something. Yeah.
Right, and they're not necessarily like playing those older titles.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true of a lot of kids even younger than that. When you start looking at the ages of like 14, 13, 12, and I know the median age of the average gamer is still pretty old. We're like 35.
Yeah.
A lot of people do remember these designers, but the games that are holding the popular consciousness and arresting that, like, it's not the designers.
Yeah.
I think it's much less likely for Cliff Bleszinski to get a walk-on interview to the Jimmy Fallon show than it is to have any celebrity, right?
Like,
in fact, Jimmy Fallon recently did a Nintendo Labo thing, right? And they didn't have any designers or devs from Nintendo on stage. They had Ariana Grande and whatever, the Black Eyed Peas that are always there, right? Playing the Nintendo Labo stuff. And
wait, his band is now the Black Eyed Peas?
No, didn't he have the Black Eyed... I thought he had... Who's there?
The Roots were whatever, his house man. Band.
I don't listen to crazy kid music.
There are some people that are real mad.
Unsubscribe.
That you put Black Eyed Peas on par with the Roots, but okay, whatever.
My bad. Yeah. The point being is, like, he didn't have... I mean, we have Miyamoto. Like, that is probably the most...
But Miyamoto is very much a... He's kind of... He's an admiral leading from behind now.
Yes.
You know, he's running, he's helping run the company
right.
more so than like being the lead designer on games.
Well, I also wonder if part of the loss of the celebrity designer is just partially thanks to press outlets being better, right?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily run to folks like Cliffy B, and they don't necessarily create profiles on folks like Cliffy B as though that's the thing that's going to get clicks, right? Like, I mean, for good or worse, Polygon, the same website that's ran this Colin Campbell retrospective that I think is very good, is also running a bunch of random, like, 15 shit you didn't know about Deadpool.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the other randoms or, like, tips on Fortnite or here's where to find Sore this week. Like, there's a lot of matter of facts pieces of editorial and forms of journalism that when looking at the pieces of good journalism or investigative journalism or actual like in-depth critical thought about the designers behind games don't always focus on the celebrity status but on the team as a whole. Like, and you've got people like Corey
Barlog,
right?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Who came out with a video after God of War and was crying and people were writing about him, but like he doesn't cast himself in the role of someone that is like the be-all, end-all representative of the company.
Yeah.
And I don't think press write about him as though he is either. Like, he is the creative director, one of many people at that studio who worked on that game.
Yeah.
And while his role is incredibly important and influential, I just don't think that we're as inclined to paint these subjects as celebrities anymore. Mm. Like, that's not something that we give them now in a way that I think that we did. And I wonder if partly that was also just the way that games culture idolized creators in a way that was true in the late 90s in a way that we just don't do anymore.
Do you think that Notch's implosion has impacted this?
Fuck, that's a good question.
Because I was thinking...
I hope so.
Because when we were talking about the kids, I was racking my brain for what younger video game players know about creators. And I was like, oh, Notch. But even
Notch is second string to PewDiePie.
Yeah.
You know, or some of the other Minecraft Twitch streamers.
That's a good point. And I think for two reasons. One, Microsoft has done an excellent job of divesting itself from the toxicity of Notch.
Yes.
And two, just exactly what you said, where the virality of streamers and, you know, YouTube stars has basically surprised everybody.
Yeah.
And they're now, I mean, there's so many people with bigger subscription lists than actual like musicians or, you know, other traditional celebrities.
Do you think that like this is like, have we succeeded? Because you know, there was a period.
What have we wrought?
Well, like there was a period of time where people said, you know, we need to get rid of the idea of the auteur. We need to stop focusing on individual celebrity statuses at game studios. They're not the only people that make the game.
Yeah.
We give them too much credit as celebrities and we do a disservice personifying or anthropomorphizing our games to some extent, right?
Yeah.
Like Cliffy B and Gears of War were thought of together in a way that
thing.
I think we've disconnected now.
Yeah.
But it does feel a little bit weird that we've moved video game celebrity from creators to people that are not involved with creation at all.
Yeah. Or they're just creating something different. They're creating their own show using a video game as an instrument to create that show.
But do you think that, like, have we succeeded in stop? Like, I feel to some extent like we're not paying attention to these celebrity designers anymore.
Yeah.
But now it also feels like we're just not paying attention to the designers at all.
Yeah. I was thinking about the, like, where's the line between, how do you highlight something as exquisitely designed but don't pin it on a single person?
Yeah. And I think surely that's partly what's wrong with the way that designers get hate mail or the general treatment of studios or even to some extent the lack of awareness around like labor and crunch among some people in regards to studios, because we still see video games as these things that just sort of magically grow out of the ground, as opposed to, you know, a lot of hard work from a variety of individuals.
I'm trying to think of if there's been any recent, I guess maybe the Yoko Taro piece, Kojima's consistently. How about David Cage? What's he up to now? I mean, his game's almost out.
His game is almost out. I mean,
I feel like I haven't seen much about this, though.
But that's, I think, because people don't want David Cage to be the mouthpiece either. You know, like, they want him to rein it in as well.
I mean, I think the access that all of a sudden we found ourselves getting to these people perhaps led to a, man, you should never meet your heroes type of phenomenon, where some of these people like Notch or like David Cage are maybe not the people that you admire all that much.
Yeah.
And so that could also be a factor in downplaying this and, like, just talking about the culture in general rather than the individual behind it.
That's true.
I mean, because it's, you learn a lot about people when they go public and they have a platform to talk about whatever the fuck they want to talk about.
Like, for example, I don't know who the Black Eyed Peas are. Well, okay, so how about this idea, though? What if part of it is that we start to pay less attention to the gaming celebrities of yore because the games that they made are less relevant? Like, Gears of War is just a less relevant game than it once was. The Unreal style game has not influenced the industry in the same way today.
It's not the zeitgeist that is driving things.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think this is true of a lot of old designers, right? From the 80s and 90s. And I think a lot of them retired and it was like, okay, that's done. Yeah. But, you know, not everybody are going to be able to be creating the games that are the most popular games, right? Like, you look at something like God of War and you can trace that back to Tomb Raider and you can trace that back to Uncharted.
Yeah.
And then you've got, like, Battle Royale games.
Dark Souls guy. What's his name?
Miyazaki. Hidetaki Miyazaki.
Yeah.
I don't know what that dude looks like.
That's true, actually. That's a good point. But I feel like there is a sense that he is the one imbuing that series with whatever chi has been taken from him.
I mean, he's certainly recognized as an auteur. I just don't know if he's a celebrity.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like, you
true.
Could say the same thing about Mr. Smash Brothers, like that guy, right?
Like, Sakurai,
Sakurai, right? Like, Sakurai, everybody knows Sakurai puts his blood, sweat, and tears into those games, but he's also not someone that you would, like, throw
roses. He
wouldn't
be on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, I'm not asking him to, like, sign my, you know, a picture of him that I printed out or whatever. Like,
sign my GameCube controller.
Yeah, like, it's just, I don't know. I wonder if it's partially because why would Cliff Bleszinski retain his celebrity today if he's not at the helm of a game that itself is so dominating in that space.
Right. So there's an argument that you can jump on the momentum of a game
to craft
the person around it.
Like, let's say Jeff Kaplan left Blizzard, was no longer working on Overwatch, and he joined another team, and that game wasn't good, or that game wasn't a critical success.
Yeah.
You might still have some people that go like, oh, I trust Jeff Kaplan, he's a great guy, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sure he would be a great guy. And it's not like the game would fail because of him. He's not the only one that worked on it.
Yeah.
But let's say 6 years go by, 10 years go by, and the last thing that he's worked on that you personally hold in your, like, pantheon of great games hasn't, you know, that's not a game that's come out within the past decade.
Yeah.
Like, why would he still be relevant, right?
Yeah.
I think to some extent these video game celebrities sort of fade out of our celebrity recognition in the same way all celebrities do. Like, if you are not active, if you're not the zeitgeist, you'll be forgotten, you know? Yeah. Like, you will fade from memory. I think the reason Cliffy B is so notable right now is that he did represent the sort of peak celebrity, and to see him shut a studio down and not find success with something like Lawbreakers sort of undermines the idea of why we had celebrity in the first place, right? Like, we believed that he carried with him some torch that would make his next game great.
Right.
And it didn't for one reason or another.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of undermines the very idea of having a celebrity, a design celebrity in the first place.
I'm still trying to think of, I think you're right. I mean, maybe another thing is that this all happened around the time when the 360 was just blowing up, was just exploding. I mean, and I feel like gaming itself got a lot more broad at that time.
Yeah.
Where you had just more eyeballs looking for people, and people who are looking for the folks behind those games. Like, there was a hunger for just learning more about the process that's calmed down a little bit now, where it's become part of the, you know, people who play video games are on talk shows now, and it's like, yeah, not as much of a novelty.
I mean, even indie devs, you know, like, yeah, I don't even know how many stand out in my mind as like, that's the most famous indie developer out there, right? Like, yeah, you look at, who's a super meat boy?
Oh yeah, Ed McMillan.
Yeah, Ed McMillan, yeah, or like some of the other like very well recognized indie developers. Yeah. There might be some fame and credibility within the indie game space in particular, yeah, but they're not the same level of celebrity. Or maybe I'm just not
as enamored by them as I used think it's to be. Safe to say that they are community based. I mean,
yeah,
we live in the same area that Jonathan Blow lives in. Maybe, yeah, we would recognize him on the street. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, but
I mean, there's a lot of like bald white guys.
Yeah, though, exactly. Yeah. But it's not, you know, it's not one of those national style celebrity sightings that, yeah, you would have.
But even so, right? Like, even Jonathan Blow is not necessarily someone that is like well loved, because he's also really vocal on Twitter about, yeah, stuff. And like,
yeah. But I mean, I think someone like him is kind of the equivalent in the independent game space. I mean, he is super outspoken, and he, yeah, is kind of like, I'm the shit because I just am, and here's my credentials and stuff. And
yeah,
I mean, I think he actually, in a weird way, he's kind of a equivalent figure, but just in a different timeline, like a different, yeah, universe.
But again, like, how many years until, you know, the games that made him famous aren't really as relevant anymore?
Yeah.
You know, like,
when you only make a game every 8 years or whatever.
That's
can,
true. Like, yeah, that's true.
I think that's the consistent success is probably like the downfall here, where it's like, oh man, like, this didn't work out. Maybe this hero was just a shell, you know, maybe there was nothing that we were looking at.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I still feel like there's something that we can take from the fact that we still have so many people that we would consider important or auteurs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they're not like celebrity status or whatever. Like, you're not, yeah, going to invite Yoko Taro onto, oh, a I will night fucking, show.
I will invite Yoko Taro to my house. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But you know, in a way, I feel like I think about creators, lead creators, and just game developers in general more and more. Like, I feel like I've swung back to thinking more about the types of people that are making games and just,
yeah,
pursuing games because there are people behind the games that I am interested in.
But to me, it still feels like all of those great minds that we really enjoy, like the creators that are really thoughtful and putting in really hard work,
yeah,
are also the first ones to say, it's not just me.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the studio. It's, yeah, all of these other great thinkers that I'm bringing on board.
Yeah.
And then you start, especially over the years, as you start to pay attention, like, what designers are moving on to other games, and what games are those, mm-hmm, and how does their influence, yeah, from those previous games move on? It becomes something where you recognize like little tendrils of people, but you know that no one person made that one thing. So there's, right, not like, it's not a celebrity status. It's more like an appreciation for some of the parts that they bring to the table, you,
yeah,
know, or some of the look and feel that particular thing has, right? Like, you could look at Steve Gaynor, right? Mm. And know Steve Gaynor is a recognizable dude. Mm. He's very well known in the independent game space.
Yeah.
But he's also the first person to put the rest of Team, yeah, Tacoma,
yeah,
in the spotlight and say, this wasn't just me. Look at all of their great work.
Yeah.
And some of them have left and moved on to other studios and have also been working on great works. And,
yeah,
you know, Nels, who, mm, worked at Clay, and Clay's still doing other good stuff. And you could see like the look and feel of some of those games and like Firewatch, and like, the, you know, yeah, Valve just picked them up, and so like, it's all true, of these sort of minds have their impact on their own little titles, and then those titles spread out, and I think the recognition of creators in the game space has now just become really spread out,
mm,
you know, in a way that is does not create people like Cliffy B anymore.
I think that's spot on, because if there was still an appetite for that sort of celebrity, I cannot name one person who worked on Fortnite.
Yeah, me neither.
And that's crazy.
Joe Fortnite, but he's the only one.
That's one of the biggest games. That's one of the most popular games that has ever been made.
Yeah.
And I can't point to a celebrity figurehead.
I don't even know PlayerUnknown's real name. Bob, maybe? Bill? Who knows?
It's actually Ice Frog, the man who made Dota.
Yeah, could be.
I wonder if Nils sold his Ferrari. What do you think?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so we could very well be in a post-game celebrity world.
The problem is we're not, because now we just have the Twitch streamers, and which is arguably worse.
Right, post-developer.
Yes, post-developer yeah, celebrity. I know. Yeah. Who's the next celebrity? I hope it's podcasters. Yeah. You know, it's about time.
It's about time that I get my goddamn Ferrari.
Yeah, where's my Lambo that I could sell when I'm rattled with debt and
I'm going to frost my tips, get a publicist, yeah, and we're going to do this thing.
Yep.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our celebrity sighting blog. Come on down and find out when we saw Brad Pitt at the local Starbucks.
Map of the stars.
Map of the stars.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.